said, the question for this morning that I felt like God has dropped in my spirit is, what is holding you back? Stop listening to me and ask that question to yourself. What is holding you back? I don't mean just whatever that means to you. What's holding you back? What's keeping you still? And I don't necessarily mean in the spirit. It could be in anything. But what is keeping you where you are? What is holding you back? What is it? There are several things that hold us back. There are several things that keep us where we are in life when we're meant to be somewhere else. And I don't mean a job, okay? Your job is where you're supposed to be. You're called to do that, okay? People talk about making tents or whatever. We can diverge that scripture. You're called to be where you are, okay? And I'm called to be where I am. And nobody cares about, Sid said it last week, nobody's going to care about the seasons that we have this year, okay? And that's not the point. That's not why we do what we do. It's the depth of what we do, which makes it important, okay? And it doesn't matter if you make handlebars or if you're coaching, or if you're selling homes, it's the depth of what you do that makes that calling important. If all you do is sell a home or make a handlebar or win a match or win a game, then your depth is a level one depth. It's very surface, okay? But the depth of who you are is how that process is done. How many lives have been affected for that of Jesus? That makes your job, that makes your calling important. But what keeps us on the surface? What keeps us where we are? What keeps us stationary? We could say a lot of things. We could say the enemy keeps us from advancing. He's just in my life, and he just keeps me from getting out. No, he's not. He's really not. If you were advancing, he'd be worried about you, but we're not. Nick is not advancing, so he's not worried about us. There's three things that are personality flaws that we all have as earthly flesh creatures. We all have them that keep us where we are. Okay, there's more than three, but there's only three I want to talk about this morning. I'm supposed to talk about three things, right? And then a poem. Sorry, I left the poem out this morning. First one's laziness. Okay, and I don't mean like you sit around the house and you don't do anything. Okay, I'm not saying because I don't believe there's a lot of people that do that. I don't believe you're sitting around the house not doing anything. What I mean is it takes effort to get into the inner courts of God. Not a lot of effort, but it takes some effort. It takes some effort to get into the inner courts. If you sit down and you watch football for 6 hours, okay, whether it's work-related or not, as opposed to getting into the Word, I've made a choice to be lazy in my spiritual life. We'll work out our bodies 24-7, won't we, Hunter? We will. We'll do push-ups, we'll do sit-ups, and we'll run sprints. Can't open the Bible, can't work out my spirit, man. So it could be laziness on our part that keeps us from advancing. Because if I promise you this, if you get into the Word, and if you spend time with the Father, you're going to advance. That's going to happen. It can't not happen. It's going to happen if you spend time with God. What's the second thing that I'm going to talk about this morning that keeps us where we are is fear. And I don't mean like we're afraid to walk out of the house because the boogeyman's going to get us. Okay? It's a lot deeper than that. Fear of rejection. That keeps us from doing things. It does. All the way from the time you're very small and you recognize that for the first time to where I am now. Just turned 35, okay? Fear of rejection. I don't want to go out there on a limb and get sent back. I don't want to be rebuked. I don't want someone to rebuke me. What if I'm wrong? What if I make a mistake? What if? I don't want to look bad in front of people. I don't want to take that chance and lose. So I'll just stay right here where I'm comfortable, okay? The reason that girl didn't go to the dance with you the other night is because you didn't ask her, okay? Real simple, okay? Don't operate out of fear. You'll never get that girl to go to the dance with you, all right? And the last thing is contentment. Life's just not that bad. It's just not that bad. I got food. I got water. Got a roof over my head. Bill Collector's not here this week. I mean, he might be there next month. But right now, I mean, life's not terrible. I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse. It could always just be worse. So I don't really need to advance because I'm safe here in my little zone that I've created. And so all of those things just kind of add up, and those are the things that prevent us from advancing for the most part. Those are the things that prevent us from advancing for the most part. All of those things, you can look into psychology, you can look into all of those things and all those reasons why people do what they do and don't do what they do. But as a spirit-filled Christian, it all adds up. So I feel like one key cog that prevents that wheel from turning There's one, it all just wraps up in one thing. And here's what I think it is. This is what I was chastised over. It is a non-belief in abundant life. We just don't believe in abundant life. Well, yes, I do, because the Bible, well, actions and words, people. I believe in abundant life. Well, what are we doing to walk in abundant life? John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And so we hear that, and we say, well, you know, that's not for me. You know, city can go and do this, and that's awesome, but that's not me. That's not, you know, God hasn't called me. Well, I'm sorry. I read the Bible, and the Bible says I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm not talking about money. If you heard money, you're wrong. He doesn't mention money in there. Okay, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about an abundant life. And so often we don't walk in these things because we don't know what they are. What does abundant life mean? What's the definition for the word abundant? You can just shout out the answer when you know it. Okay, peace, joy, and happiness, fruits of the Spirit. And so if we have those abundantly, do we have a little bit or a lot of them? We have a lot, okay? Abundance means to have plenty of, more than enough to go around. Walking in a lot of life would be the way that you would translate that, right? Walking in a lot of life. Well, what is life? Pulled up the definition to the word life. I just hit define life in Google and it popped right up. Okay? Life's so much simpler right now. I'll tell you what life is. It is the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter. I think we knew that. The second part is what got me. Including the capacity for growth, reproduction, functional activity, and the continual change preceding death. I came to give you abundant life. I came to give you abundant growth. I came to give you abundant reproduction. And I'm not talking about babies. I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Reproduction of joy and faith and happiness and gentleness and patience. I came to help give you a bunch of that stuff. I came to give you an abundance of a functional activity. It doesn't say inactivity. It's activity. It's not functional inactivity. No, that's just someone else's calling. I'm not real good doing that. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. If you want to live an abundant life, you've got to be active, not inactive. So don't give me the fluff about, well, that's just not where I'm called. Yes, you are. That's what it says right here in the Word. You are called to be active, period. You're not called to be inactive. That is not a growth mindset. It's not a growth mindset. And then the last part of the definition of life says the continual change before death. Continual change before death. I came to give you an abundance of change before you die. I am tired of thinking that, well, I'm a little bit older now and I've seen the way things work and this is just how life goes and so this is what I'm going to do. Wrong. Okay, wrong. Continual change. And if we look at that in the spiritual, it's continual change of how He is affecting me, because there's nothing that I can ever do that will be good enough to smell good in the nostrils of God. He tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags, right? So there's nothing that I can do to make God happy, right? Other than submit to His will and do what He's called me to do and live life abundantly and have a bunch of change and have a bunch of life and reproduce happiness and gentleness and joy and to continue to do those things. That's how I make God happy. That's how we are effective as Christians, to have an abundance of activity and not inactivity. That's what changes worlds. One couldn't put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight because they're walking in an abundance of change, in an abundance of reproduction. Right? And that's what God has called us to do. Yet, we don't believe that, because if we did, we would walk in it. If we believed that we were supposed to live life and life more abundantly, then we would be active. We would be open to change. That is the worst word to so many of us, is change. I want to change because I like who I am. I like where I'm at. I like my friends, and I like this, and I like that, and I don't want to change because, look, I've figured it out. I've been there. I've made my mistakes, right, in life. And so I'm good where I'm at, and I don't want to change. I know who I am. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. I stay in my lane. I do the right thing. I'm good. I don't want to change. If you want to live your life according to the Word of God, we should be forever changing, because we've got all room for improvement, each and every one of us, right? Got me good. Got me right there. Whew. So, what makes us stay here? If we know these things, we did. We all got that just now. If you zoned in, you all got that, right? If we took 15 seconds away from Candy Crush just then, we got it, okay? We got it. Well, I know I'm supposed to be doing something, but why ain't I doing it, okay? Well, God tells us. He's so good to us. He tells us. He uses the Bible. We use the NIV. He uses the Bible to tell us why we act the way that we act, all right? The majority of us have heard this. Maybe one or two have not. So I'm going to read it in its entirety, and we're going to go through it. And we're going to use this story that God gives us in Matthew 25:14. All right, Matthew 25:14. He tells us a story. He tells us why we act this way. I'll read it to you and try not to make any mistakes. So this is Jesus. The words are in red. He's talking to his disciples, and he's telling them why people act the way that they act. And he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities, he then left on his trip." We're going to revisit that. "The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest his money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work," activity, "and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and he called to give them to give an account of how he had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' The servant had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more.' The master said, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' And then the servant, when the 1 bag of silver came, he said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance.'" There's that word again. "But from those who do nothing, inactivity, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we have a story of very clear defined people. We have a master and we have servants. They are on 2 different levels of life. Okay, 2 different levels of life. And if this guy, this master, had enough money, right, to call his servants up and say, "Hey, I'm going out of town. I'm headed over to wherever. All right, Patagonia or Cali." I was just kidding, Sid. All right. "I'm going to head out to these places, but I'm going to call you guys up. And while I'm gone, you're the 3 guys that I have a good enough relationship with, and I'm going to trust in you with my money so that you can take care of my affairs while I'm gone." So it's not like he was like, "All right, you, and you, come see me." Because it says at the end, it says he divided it in proportion to their abilities. So he obviously knew these men enough to know he's good at this and he's not so great at this, and I know him and his name is it. He knew these. And then at the end of the reading, the servant says, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man." So they knew him as well. They had a relationship with each other. Okay? So he knew these men. He knew these men. There's a relationship that's taking place, or that has taken place and has been built. And so the difference between the 3 servants is 2 of them were active and they were changing. right? And they were looking to reproduce that which they were given, and the one servant did not. The one servant was afraid. The one servant was called lazy. He was called inactive. All of those things that go against what God said that He came to give us. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Yet this one guy couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. You can't tell me that in, it says after a long time, so he had more than a day and a half. The three servants didn't know each other. They all worked for the same guy. Okay? You guys pretty much know everybody that works in your building. I do too. Okay? I do too. You can't tell me that if he recognized an ability in another that he couldn't have went and said, look, dude, I know you're really good at this, but I need a little help because I suck at this, okay? Can you help me out right here? Can you tell me what I need to be doing so that I can make the master some money when he gets home so he's going to be happy with me? Could have done it. But he operated out of laziness, and he operated out of fear. He's like, man, what if he says no? What if I go and I put myself out there, and he's like, no, look, man, he gave that to you. I'm trying to get mine right now. I'm out, you know, snapping necks and cashing checks. You go do your thing, I'm going to do my thing. What if he tells me and ridicules me in front of everyone? What if he does that? So he operated out of fear, he operated out of laziness, and he operated out of being content because he says, look, hey, man, you left me with some money. You getting it back. I'm giving you everything that you gave me. I'm giving it back to you. I mean, I had it. I didn't lose it. You getting it back. Y'all be happy. So he operated out of the three things that continue to beset all of us in our spiritual life. He operated out of a non-belief in abundant life. I'm just the servant. I'm not the master. This is who I am. This is where I'm at. You know, God's called me to be here and called me to kind of be inactive. I'm not that guy on the front. You know, it even says, you know, he divided these up. He knows who I am. He knows not to give me all this money because I'm going to screw that up. So, I mean, it's not like he don't know who I am. So I'm just going to sit over here, and if, you know, the church needs me to bring peanut butter, that's what I'm going to do. And that's fine. That's good. You didn't lose the peanut butter. Okay? That's good. But you didn't live in abundance. You didn't live where God has called you to live. Okay? And that is what easily, it's not the enemy doing that. That's us. That's our mind. Our weakness coming out and saying, I'm just me. And I like me. And I don't want to change me. And I'm happy with me. And if I'm not me, then maybe things go wrong or bad. I don't know what it is. It's because we've been conditioned to think that way. It is a conditioning. All right? So what I want to tell you this morning and what I had to tell myself, listen, number one, it's not your fault because you've been conditioned this way. Okay, maybe you conditioned yourself, and so there's blame there, especially if you've heard that you've been loosed. But I want you to know, it's not on you, okay, until after today. After today, I feel like it becomes on you, because I know all of you have kind of heard it. Now it's on me and you all together, right? It's not on you. But I can tell you this without the shadow of a doubt. You are called, I am called to walk in a more depth than what we've been walking in. We're called to affect our area, our sphere of influence, more than what we've been doing it. I can tell you that because I see the lack of abundance in my life. I see the lack of continual change because I don't want to change. I see the lack of reproducing joy because I get mad a lot. Okay, I can see that. I'll just share with you all of these things I walk in. But I'm telling you right now that you are called to walk at Fastenal. You are called to be the deepest guy that works in that building. You're called to do that. Rhett Tollison, you are called to do more than make handlebars. You're called more to do more than what other people or what yourself have put a box on you. You are called to be the deepest guy that you know. You are called to walk in depths that other people don't walk in and in places that people in your family and in-law family don't walk in. You're called to be you. Everything that you have been through, this is not a word of prophecy. This is a word of knowledge. This is me gathering stuff and saying, I see this about you, okay? Everything that you've been through in your life has prepared you to walk in the depths that which you can walk right now. You were brought up by a great man. Tell him, let him listen to this. He was awesome, man. Your dad got inducted Friday night, right? I wasn't there because I was coaching somewhere else. I wish I could have been there to tell him, hey, man, I appreciate you being solid in my life and being consistent and doing your absolute best. We all make, nobody's perfect, but he did a dang good job, and he raised a dang good son. And he did the right thing by you, and he did the right thing by his family as best as he could. And you were raised that way. You went through all the things that you've went through. You work where you work. You have the kids that you have and the wife that you have so that you can be the most effective Rhett Tolleson on the planet right now. And so I speak that to you as a word of knowledge, and I loose you to do that. I loose you to do that, right? I loose you to walk in whatever those places that you're like, I kind of want to do this, but I'm not sure I want to stay. Get rid of that. Get rid of all the thoughts that hold you there, the content. All, get rid of it, man. Be you, because you are you, and you're the only you. And be you, all right? You've got that. Sorry. All right. What causes us to stay there? What causes us to remain content? What causes us to do that? Conditioning does. Conditioning causes us to stay where we are. So as I'm getting ready to give a word to the football team, on Friday and on Thursday and on Wednesday, we've struggled. We've had a tough time. I'll just be honest with you guys. It ain't good right now, okay? All right? But we're not subscribing to that. That's not where we. That's not where my thoughts are, okay? I'm preparing for the day that the rain comes, right? And it's going to. I'm preparing for the day that rain comes. And so I'm not going to stop speaking life into these young men. And so I was looking for something to give them that just fit where we were. Because we walk in that. We walk in a lot of contentment and laziness, and this is who we are, and we don't need to change. And so I come upon a story that I've heard several times, and it fit. And then God kind of let me know it wasn't just for them. Maybe it was for us too. There's an old story about a man walking through a zoo. And he walks through the zoo, and he's looking at all the animals, and he's having a great time. And then he lays his eyes upon the elephant. And he sees as they've restrained this elephant to keep him stationary so that they can feed him or bathe him or whatever it is that they do to him. They see this stationary elephant, and he's bound by a singular rope on his front leg. And the guy sees this and says, "You got to be kidding me. This is a 2,000-pound animal. How do you guys keep this rope? Is this rope made out of something special? How does this animal remain stationary with this small rope?" And the zookeeper looked at him and was like, "Well, it's really kind of easy. That animal wasn't always 2,000 pounds. When he was born, it was a couple hundred pounds, and that rope was more than strong enough to hold him where he was on his front leg. And when that animal was young, he tried like crazy to get loose. He'd move, and he'd jerk, and he'd snatch, and he never got loose. And so over time, he was conditioned to stay where he was. And so every time he sees the rope, he thinks, I'm going to be stationary, and he doesn't even try anymore because he's been conditioned to remain stationary when the rope comes out. Every time in our life, whatever that rope is, whatever it is, that thorn in our side, we see it and we say, that's it. I screwed it. I messed up. It's time for me to remain stationary so I don't lose the rest of my dignity. Yet we forget the fact that we're not that 200-pound animal anymore, that by God who's called us to life and life more abundantly, we are the 2,000-pound animal who just needs to break free from our chains and walk in abundant life. We have been conditioned, taking psychology classes. I remember reading the stories about the dogs and the rabbits. There were a set of rabbits, and they would take these rabbits and they'd put them in a cage, right? And then they would take this air compressor and they'd run a line into the rabbit's cage. And they would shoot air at the rabbit at the same time every day. It would make a noise. They'd hit a button, right in the rabbit's eye, right? Well, obviously the rabbit's going to close his eye. And they do this every single day, several times. And then they cut the air pressure away. They hit the button, no air sprays out, but what does the rabbit do? Closes his eye because he has been conditioned to think that every time that button is pushed and every time I hear this sound, bad things are going to happen to me. Bad things are going to happen. But we are too strong. We are the 2,000-pound animal, not because of who we are, but because of who He has called us and told us that we are. Those things can no longer affect you. Those are the chains that we have to break through. And it's not this chain that the enemy has put on us. It's the chain that we have put on ourselves. Because every time I see this, every time I hear the noise, and every time I hear the rope, I shut down. Because I've been burned in the past. I'm talking to me. Okay? Here's something that I do. I'll lay it out there. I don't trust none of y'all.
Come on, brother.
I'm just being honest. Come on. And that started with me when I was young. I'm just being honest with you. the white family is not what you would call, they're not related to the Cleavers, okay, or the Waltons or any of those wonderful TV families. They're not, okay? As a matter of fact, when I was 16 years old, they both decided to leave. I don't trust people very well. I've got friends in my life that have burned me and hurt me. So I don't want to go to dinner with you and open up to you because that's where I've been hurt. So every time I see that rope of friendship starting to tie me, I run away because I don't want it. I don't need that anymore. Okay, I don't want to feel that way again. And I run from it, guys. And I battle with that all the time. And I'm sharing that with you to let you know I ain't preaching at you. Okay, I'm preaching at me. I go through that. So don't be offended if you invite me somewhere and I'm like, hey, I got stuff to do. That's what I struggle with, and I've got to get over that, and I'm going to. I've got to know that I'm the 2,000-pound animal that can break free from that rope whenever I want to because God has said it's going to be okay because I've given you life and life more abundantly. So this is what I want to tell all of us this morning. We're not going to have music. I'm not going to make everybody feel good. We're not going to do that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to resolve today. I'm never going back. Okay, that's not talking about Lot's wife turning around and becoming salt. You can read that if you want to. What it's talking about, I'm not going back to that post with that rope anymore. I'm not going to be bound by life anymore. And I'm not going to do the things that I've always done because I've always done them anymore. I'm not going back to that cage so that they can shoot more air at my eye. I'm not going back to the rope to be restrained and stationary. I'm going to live life abundantly. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to have a bunch of life. I'm going to have a bunch of change. This is what the Lord said to me, and this is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. And we're going to all stand to our feet at this point in time. Everybody's going to stand up. I want you to make eye contact with me the best that you can. And I'm going to do my best to be the vessel of the Lord this morning, all right? This is what the Lord, our God, is telling each and every one of us. Isaiah 52, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 52, verses 1 and 2. Wake up, O Zion. Wake up, Rhett. Wake up, Linda. Wake up, Jamie. Wake up. Clothe yourself with strength. Not yours, but clothe yourself with His strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem. Look at yourself the way that I look at you. Don't look at yourself the way that you look at yourself. Look at the way that the Master who sent His Son to die for you and would do it again in a heartbeat. Look at yourself the way that He looks at you. Wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with my strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem. For unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. If you'll clothe yourself in my strength, these things will bother you no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor, because that's what I've told you to do. And remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Wake up and walk in what I've called you to walk in. You are beautiful. You are smart. You are wonderful because I made you and I see that in you. Remove the chains that you put on your neck and put on my strength. That is what the Lord is saying to me. That is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. So this morning, however you respond, when you go all in, whatever it takes for you to remove the chains from you, do it and put on His strength and see yourself the way that He sees you, fearfully, beautiful, and wonderfully made, and someone that can live life abundantly, someone that can put 1,000 to flight, someone that can lock arms with another and put 10,000 to flight, because that's what you've been called to do, period. That is what He says, and He says it with exclamation points. Wake up! Wake up and put this on and walk with me. So I'm going to pray for us right now. You do what you got to do. If you want to get in the altar, if you want to raise your hands to the Lord, if you need to cry in your own seat, whatever it takes for you to remove the chains off of yourself and clothe yourself in His strength. Lord, we come to you this morning, Father, and we love you. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes, for taking the scales off of our eyes, for letting us know that you see us as beautiful, as elegant, as strong, because you have made us, Father. And I declare all of the negativity, all of the thoughts about I'm not good enough, they're gone. In Jesus' name, I declare that. All of the thoughts about I'm not smart enough, they're gone. All of the thoughts about I'm not pretty enough, they're gone. All of the thoughts about I don't have the same friends that they do, and I don't dress the same way that they dress, they're gone. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I loose you to be you this morning. I loose you to be you and who God has called you to be in the name of Jesus. God, we declare these things, Father, because you are our God and you are good. And we love you and we thank you, God, and we praise you for being you. We thank you that you care enough about us to take time out of your schedule to tell us in Harrelson County, Georgia today that we're worth it. That we are worth it and we are special and that we are good. And it is time for us to realize that we are bound by our own ropes and take them off. And God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus for being good and wonderful and awesome. And that's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what do you do when there's no music playing, right? So I tell you what I'd like to do this morning, because I want our kids to get fed as well and I want them to have a good time. I don't know what time it is. It doesn't really matter. If you guys want to come and play a little bit of the It Is Well With My Soul, what I'd like to do, I don't know why, but God kind of spoke that to me this morning, that we need to move on, and there's somebody that wanted to cry out to him. Somebody catch the lights, that'd be great. I want to give you that opportunity again, not because it's me, but because it's God's hand. I'm still here, and I'm still holy. And I felt like God didn't want us to have music on while we were praying right now, because it was real and it was resolved. And it wasn't just emotions, but it was resolved. There's a difference between resolve and everything else. If you look up resolve in the dictionary, it means to decide something firmly and not change. To decide something firmly and not change. And so I declare that what we just did is we decided something firmly. That I'm going to accept change. I'm going to accept God's grace and God's glory and be me. So right now, we are going to declare that it is well with my soul, because I accepted those things and I decided them firmly. And we're going to love on God for a little while longer, okay? Because that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. I'm tired of giving the pregame speech after practice. We need the speech before practice. So as we worship God longer, as we love on Him longer, reflect on what God is doing in your life. Reflect on being changeful and being abundant in your life. It's in Jesus' name we do those things.